Do you know the psalmist has said in Psalm 139 that he tells us that if you could count the number of thoughts that God our Father thinks about you every day, they would be more than the sand of the sea. He's thinking about you every day. He's thinking about you right now. Anybody in here ever counted the sands of the sea?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day and welcome to the midweek broadcast of Love Never Fails. On today's program, we continue Pastor Bill's series, Real Life, from the Epistle of 1 John. The message today is titled, Real Children of God. Now, Pastor.
This morning, we're going to move into a little different area, and that is the area really, like I said, is just holy ground. And it's difficult for any pastor to truly teach in depth on the things I'm about to share with you, okay? This morning, I'm going to talk to you from Scripture about real children of God. Part one, part two is next Sunday, the Lord willing. Amen? Now, we know that the theme of 1 John, okay? Let me just turn there and read it to you. The theme of 1 John that we've chosen is in chapter 5, and it's in verse 20. It says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know him who is true." Anytime you come to the word true in 1 John, it means genuine are real, the real thing, amen? That's why I use the word real. All of our messages have been, you know, real love, so forth, from this text. So it says, we know him who is real, and we are in him, praise the Lord, who is true or real, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true or the real God and real or true eternal life. Amen? So we've learned about real life. We've learned about real fellowship, real love. We've learned about real truth for the last hour. And this morning, though, we're going to look at what kind of father do we really have and what kind of children does our father have? Amen? Especially here that we're living in the last hour. Now, with all that being said, it says in verse 29 of chapter 2 that I just read, it says, we know that he is righteous. Absolutely, we know Jesus is. And watch the next part. And you know that everyone who has a lifestyle, practices an habitual lifestyle of doing what is right toward God, righteousness, is born of him. So the new birth, our new birth, is always manifested in those things. Amen? The new birth is not something that is hidden, loved one. So let me ask you a question. What kind of father do you have? I'm talking about Heavenly Father. Do you know him? You know, many of you might remember, you know, I did not really know my dad. I think my dad was a good man. I never heard him cuss. I never saw him drink a beer or anything. He just wasn't with me ever. And he didn't raise me. As you know, my sister raised me beginning at the age of 14. And I've always wanted to know who my dad was because we never really talked. And then just a few years ago, a lady called Merlinda, our church secretary, and said, "Is this Bill Quinn?" And she was trying to figure out if I was related to her. And I was, of course. It was my cousin that I hadn't seen since I was 6 years old. She had a box, a cigar box. Remember the old White Owl cigar boxes? And in it was about 75 letters that my father had written to his mother and father during World War II. And I was able to hear things about him I had never known. And in those letters, the love, the sincerity, and all the things that he was writing, I saw a picture of him I didn't even know existed. But can I tell you this morning, I know my heavenly father better than I do my earthly father. Why? I have his complete letter in my hand, amen? And so do you. And listen, that's important. Do you know who your father really, really is? What kind of father that you have? Listen, maybe so often, it's like there's a God doesn't really care for me, or God doesn't love me, or I'm always failing before God. Listen, our God is incredible. Our Father is unbelievable. Do you know that He always, always leads you in triumph? No, always. It's in the Bible. If you want all these scriptures, they're on the app, okay? Do I have to give you the title of every scripture? Thank you. See, they tell me what to do up there. So we know that's 2 Corinthians 2:14, okay? He always leads, our Father leads us in triumph. Listen, if you study out the Psalms, the Bible says in Psalm 56:9 that we know this, our Father is always for me. Do you believe that? That's the kind of Father that we have. He is always for us. And not all of that, He is always thinking about you. Do you know, the psalmist has said in Psalm 139, I believe it is, that he tells us that if you could count the number of thoughts that God our Father thinks about you every day, they would be more than the sand of the sea. He's thinking about you every day. He's thinking about you right now. Anybody in here ever counted the sands of the sea? Oh, praise the Lord. Think about that. That's the kind of Father that we have. Not only is our Father like that, we have a Father that every time you cry, He puts your tear, not tears, your tear, whatever that tear is for, in His bottle. And then He writes what that tear meant in the book of His remembrance. Amen? Now, that's the kind of Father that we have this morning. Not only that, I don't know, but some of you, He can't do this to everyone, but some of you, He counts or numbers the hairs on your head. Amen? That's the kind of Father that we have. If you want that scripture, it's Matthew 10:30. Now, with all that being said, I tell you what, my Father, Matthew 6:32, my Father knows what I need before I ever ask Him. Now, that's the kind of Father that we have this morning, the real children of God. We have a Father that said this. Boy, and I can't say this about my earthly dad, but I can my heavenly Father. He said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never relax my hold upon you. I will never, no, never, no, never leave you without support. Amen? Hebrews 13:5. That is the Father. That is our Father right now. Amen? Our Father is so incredible. Do you know what it says in Romans 8:32? Let me read it to you. That God did not spare His own Son, Jesus our Lord, but delivered Him up, meaning on the cross, for us all. How shall He, our Father, with Jesus, also freely give us all things? All things, loved one. Man, we belong to God our Father. It says in 1 John 4:19, it says, long before we loved God, God loved us first. Amen? Have you ever looked up the first mention of love in the Bible? It's found in Genesis 22:2. It's the Father's love for His son, meaning Abraham. And then when you get over to the second mention of love in the Bible, it's just Genesis 24:67, and it's the love of His son for the bride, Isaac and Rebekah, of course. Now, with all of that being said this morning, as we look at real children of God, let's begin in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. You see the exclamation mark? Do you have that in your Bible? Listen, that is a shocking, unbelievable statement. He's saying, therefore the world doesn't know us because it didn't know Him. And the word behold there is an exciting word. Matter of fact, it's actually a command. It's calling for the readers then and Christians throughout every generation to give immediate, urgent attention, or literally look at this, and behold, there is not singular, it's plural in the Greek, which means every Christian everywhere in every generation, rich Christians, poor Christians, sick Christians, healthy Christians, Christians on the mountaintop, Christians in the valley, they're saying this, you need to stop, behold, stop everything right this minute and prepare your hearts to be blown away. About what? Well, first of all, about what manner of love that our Father has bestowed upon us. If you study out Greek, and which is a difficult language, of course, and I'm not a Greek scholar, I do word studies, okay? But the word what manner there is one word in the Greek. It's used six times in the New Testament. And it's an incredible word because it speaks of astonishment. It speaks of a wonder, if you will. And what manner literally means from what country. Something is that's foreign, something that's not from this world, if you will. Now listen, this love that God is love, amen? Okay, agape, his love, is so foreign to this human race because it comes only down from heaven. But listen to me very carefully. I want you to really catch what I'm about to say. This love, God's love, this love only comes, number one, from the Father, and number two, it only exists in his children. No one else. Do you understand that? That is so important to see. We live in a world that is passing away. And the world, we used to be part of the world. We know that when we say we love things back then, it was really, you know, maybe a selfish love. It was a love that was a conditional love, but it wasn't agape. The world doesn't have agape, amen? So the Father's love, though, agape is unconditional. It is unchanging. It never goes up or down. Do you know that right now, anyone in the world, Christian or non-Christian, but let's talk about the church, no one in the world, right this very moment, no one, there is nothing that a person, the church, the Christian can do, nothing, not one thing to make God love you any more or any less than he already does. He loves you completely. Amen? It doesn't go up. It doesn't go down. Well, I came to church. He loves me. No. You know, I'm serving. That's why. No. You can't get stars with God. You know those little stars you put in your report card? Do they still do that? I didn't. Well, they did for me. Of course, we didn't have report cards back then, but bestowed. Beautiful word. That word means he bestowed his love lavishly upon you, but it's also permanent. Our Father loves you permanently. Our Father loves you unconditionally. And our Father's love to us this morning and always throughout all eternity can never be measured, okay? You can't measure it. There's not a ruler that can say, oh, look how much God loves me. Let me give you the scripture, Ephesians 3:17 from Paul's prayer, where he says that you being rooted, meaning in love, and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend or grasp with all of the saints what is the width, what is the length, what is the depth, and to know the love of God, the love that Jesus has for you, not the love that we have for him. Know the love of God that passes knowledge. It doesn't pass our heart. It lives in our heart, but it passes up here. Does that make sense? And it says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Man, listen, you cannot measure the width, the height, the depths of God's love. You can't measure it. I do know this. I know with all of my heart, I'm persuaded just like the Apostle Paul. I know that whatever we face in this life, nothing, no matter what it is, will ever be able, does not have the power to ever separate us from the love of God. Amen? Paul says in Romans 8:38, I'm persuaded. Are you persuaded? Okay. He says, I'm persuaded that neither death. One day, if the rapture doesn't happen, are we going to experience that? Yes, but immediately we're with the Lord. Amen? So it says, neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities or power, whatever Satan can throw at you in this life, things present, things to come, whatever's happening now, what's ever going to happen tomorrow. It says, height, depth, nor any created thing. Think about that. Any created thing, no matter what anything could be created in this world, shall be able to separate us from the love of God. That's our Father, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing can remove you from his love. I hear Christians sometimes say, I sinned and I know I separated myself from the love of God. Stop it. Nothing. Listen, you've heard me say this, but you can go down to 28th Street when the bar is open today. Don't do that. And you can get on the last stool. And if that man happens to be a fallen away Christian sitting there drinking the worst beer in the world and crying in it, I don't know, whatever. But if he knows Jesus and he is saved, he's in the pig pen. Amen? Does God love him? Okay. But he doesn't approve of what he's doing, though. Amen? Okay. But God loves him, loved one. So listen, the most important thing in the world for us to remember is this. Never let our Father's love for us to become commonplace. Don't take God's love for granted. How could a real child of God do that? One of the commandments that why we exist as a church is the great commandment that we are called to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is just like it, to love our neighbor as ourself. For this, all the law and the prophets hang upon it. Amen? And the reason God says to love him, that command, love me with all of your heart, is because there's so many things wanting to get into your heart. And God says, if you fill me with your heart, it's going to be hard for other things to choke out my love for you. Amen? And so that's what he's saying there. So look at it again. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called, or literally named, children of God, or born ones of God. And literally in the Greek, it would read, and this is who we are right now. This is who we are, not hope to be, but we are. Now, Criswell, remember, I don't know if y'all remember W.A. Criswell. He was the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas for, 50 years or something. A great man of God. He is one of the most, to me, the best study Bibles ever done. And he said this about this passage. He says, Criswell says, that mere creatures are given sonship by the eternal God is a masterpiece of God's love. Love, well, listen to me. That we, right now, think about it, that we should be called children of God. That cannot even be fathomed, can it? I mean, how do we even embrace that? So when John says, behold, the first thing he does, he tells us who we are right now. He says, we are children of God. What does that really mean? You know, if we go back and we really remember what we were before we were born again, it kind of helps us out. Because whether you knew it or not, we lived before we were saved in a condition so horrible, only the grace of God and only the love of God and only the power of God could change us. Amen? Oh, listen, we were so dead. We weren't dying. We weren't on a respirator. We weren't given our last rites. We were dead. Amen? I mean, spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. We didn't even know it. We lived for the values of the world and had no idea that we were. We were in Adam, and in Adam all die. And there we were walking around in this world, dead in trespasses and sins. We were children of wrath. We were enemies of God. We were bound for hell, which is eternal death. Amen? But then one day, you met someone that led you to Christ. And then the reality of Ephesians 1:4 became true in your walk. God, who chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world, came to pass. Amen? And then God did something. It says in Ephesians 2:4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, we're the object of our Father's love, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive. He made us alive together with Christ. With Christ, we're seated with him even right now. And by grace, you have been saved. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates or proves his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, living in sin, wanting to live in sin, Christ died for us. He took our place. The very second that you said, Jesus, would you be my Lord? The very second you said, Lord, forgive me, I trust in you. You know what happened? Number one, the new birth occurred. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you became a new creation. Amen? The second thing that happened is from 2 Peter 1:4, you immediately became partakers of his divine nature. Amen? You became the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And the result of the new birth, Jesus, be my Lord, immediately, whether you knew it or not, not knowing one scripture, you became children of God. And what happened next? Well, the moment you became a child of God, God did something to you, and he did it permanently. He did it forever. It can never, never, ever be changed. He adopted you. Man. I mean, he adopted us, okay? Let me give you the scripture, Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time had come, that perfect time in history, God, that's our Father, He sent forth His Son. He sent forth from heaven to earth, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, that means sons and daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son, the Spirit of Jesus, into our hearts, by which we cry, Abba, Father. That's Aramaic for daddy or papa. Listen, our relationship with our Father right now is so pure, so intimate, so true, so real. You have the privilege, and I hope this doesn't just go over your head. We have the privilege of calling Him daddy. I don't ever call Him daddy. I call Him Father. But we have the privilege. That's how intimate it is. Listen, the Creator of everything is your Father. You are a royal priesthood. You are priest unto God. You are co-heirs with Christ. You are seated with Christ in the heavenlies, positionally speaking, right this moment. Amen? Man, listen. I mean, we are accepted by God. I don't know about you. I don't even like me. He accepts us. Ephesians 1, 6, and 7. He accepts us in the beloved, which is His Son, meaning He loves us just as He loves His own Son, Jesus Christ. Man, that's that unchangeable love. And I say to myself, oh, Father, help me. Help me to act like who I really am, a real child of God. He says, therefore, because we're children of God, real children of God, therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. The reason that the world doesn't understand us or see us or recognize us is because we're in Christ, and the world that He came to, did they recognize Him? No, John 1, 10 and 11, you know, He came to His own, but His own received Him not. Amen? He created the world, but the world didn't recognize Him. And so they don't recognize us as well. So here we are. We walk through this world. We're children of God. We're sons of God. We're heirs of God. We're sons of light. The world is sons of darkness. They're in Adam. We don't love the world. Remember, we studied that out in 15 through 17. But they love the world, and they don't know why they love the world. We walk on the narrow road, they're on the broad way. We have the wisdom of God, they only have the wisdom of this world, loved one. But this, remember, was written to the third generation of Christians. I wonder today, I say this with love, not a judgment. I wonder the reason that the world doesn't recognize Christians today, though, is because we look so much like them. We live so much like them. We do what they do. Do you understand? It's like we're part of that. Well, we're not part of this world. We are real children of God. And you know what happens when you act like real children of God in this world? Let me give you the scripture Jesus told us, John 15, 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. John 15, 21, Jesus said, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake. Now, they're not going to like you because they do not know Him who sent me. Now, look at it again in verse 2. Beloved, or loved one, now we are children of God. We're not children of God, loved one, tomorrow or someday, but right now and forever. Amen? Have you ever just, you know, you say, I look up every word, believe it or not. I'm kind of a weirdo when I do my studies. I like to know. But have you ever just look up the word now? I mean, you know, now. I mean, do you know what the word now really means?
Now.
Yes, thank you. It means, literally, that if you want to define it, it means at this precise moment. Now, in all of our lives, it says now we are children of God. This precise moment happened to all of you sometime in your past. Amen? This precise moment happened for me about 50 years ago on a beach in Jacksonville, Florida, when I gave my heart to Christ Jesus.
Well, once again, we're out of time, but Pastor Bill will conclude this message on tomorrow's program, and we look forward to seeing you once again. My name is Brian Whitaker. For Pastor Bill, we want to thank you for listening to the broadcast. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.